Welcome to French Kissing Life. I'm your host, Shauna Stiver, and I am thrilled to help you discover what makes your heart race, your soul dance, and your spirit soar. Every week, you'll get a fun dose of inspiration, laughter, and a sprinkle of magic as we explore stories, insights, and conversations that empower you to ignite the spark within. In a world that demands you be anything but yourself, this is your permission slip to be a little more you. Together, let's shed the shoulds, embrace our unique brilliance, and welcome more joy. Are you ready to French kiss life? Welcome back to another episode of French Kissing Life. I am your fun-loving, adventure-seeking, French fry-eating host, Shauna Stiver. Both myself and today's guests were having a bit of a day, but we turned the beat around by the end and were embracing the annoying life things with a spirit of play, which is exactly what today's show is about. Here's a question for you. Why do we ever stop playing? By and large, as adults, play is seen as a waste of time because of our never-ending to-do list. And as a result, we're living in a world that's more conducive to anxiety than playfulness. Today's guest wants to help bring back the spirit of play in business and beyond. Emily Castle has been coaching, mentoring, and leading women entrepreneurs to their next breakthrough since 2014. Emily specializes in helping women, specifically visionary entrepreneurs, break through the internal and external limits and shift from incremental growth to exponential growth. Along the way, she's built her own multi-six-figure businesses, a thriving ecosystem and community of fellow female founders, and is known as an expert, standout leader, trailblazer, innovator, and master coach in her industry. Emily was my coach last year for the Women's Leadership Mastermind I was a part of and had a front row seat, kind of, to my infamous skinny dipping shenanigans. In today's episode, we talk about how we can be more childlike in business and life, the different types of playful people, the health benefits of play, and tips for inviting more of it in our everyday lives. We play a fun game of what do you want to be when you grow up? And then I ask Emily some very hard-hitting rapid-fire cues before she reveals her own skinny dipping confession. This is an episode that nearly goes off the rails in the very best way imaginable. Don't stop playing and enjoy my conversation with Emily Castle. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
I know we're both having a day today, which is perfect because we're going to talk about play.
All we're going to do this whole time is play because we're play. A coping mechanism for the days we're having.
Yes, it is quite the hump day. Thank you so much for being here on French Kissing Life with me.
Thanks for having me. I've been much anticipating this exciting moment for us for a while.
Yes, I've been talking about it forever. You were one that was a front row seat to me getting this off the ground. So it's surreal that we're actually doing it. We're doing
it's
the thing.
Real. You did it. It is. You made it happen. Yes. So exciting.
Yes. So you and I know each other because I was your protege. Is that what you call them? Or your students or your mentees? Oh,
like a protege. I don't think I've ever had a protege, but that's pretty fun. Sounds very professional.
So Emily was my coach last year. She was a witness to the infamous skinny dip moment that changed the world, at least the podcast world. Well, maybe just my world. It changed my world. So I want to talk to you about play today because I know that for you specifically, like there's just a youthfulness and a magnetism and a spirit of playfulness in everything that you do. And I think that we as adults sort of don't take enough of an opportunity to stop and do that. And I think that that is like such a good way to invite more joy and invite more presence and everything into our days. So why don't we start out with you kind of just like telling me about your background, sort of how you got into the work that you're doing. Because I know that at one time you wanted to be a Disney princess, I think, or a singer.
Sure.
Or So tell us all the dreams.
Yeah. I mean, I think growing up, I wanted to be like a performer of some kind because that's what everybody always fed in me or praised in me or like wanted me to do in my family. So I grew up singing and dancing and cheerleading and lots of things like that and always dancing and just performing. And putting on like plays and forcing people into them into the character roles and like watching The Wizard of Oz and other musicals on repeat at all times and dressing up as Dorothy for 5 years of my life, you know, gone through many blue gingham dresses and red sparkly shoes in my day. Uh-huh. And, you know, then I became an overachiever and, you know, show choir, and that evolved into, you know, all these other things, leadership positions and academic excellence and all of these things. And so, I mean, it's interesting to say like the difference between playing and performing, right? Like playing is something that we're doing for the joy of it. Performing is we're doing it for other people. Right. To watch or to witness or to get something from. But play is so honoring of our own pleasure that it's not about somebody else. Right. It's truly about us and the experience we're having, the process of it versus the result. So I think that sort of same vibe kind of followed me through all of those aspects of like who I became. And I think there was like a healthy balance of both for me. Like obviously you're putting something together, like you're cheering, you're doing practices and you're tossing people in the air. And there's like a practice around it. And there's also joy in it. My cheerleading coach used to say, and she was hard, like she was a hard ass and she was like really amazing. And also everybody was terrified of her. So she was this tiny little woman. She's like under 5 feet tall and she's so tiny, but she's powerful. And she would say like, feel it here, see it here. Cause she was like, you have to be smiling all the time. Like you have to be standing in this very specific way. And like, you have to feel the joy for what you're doing and it will show on your face. And like, you can't fake it, you know? Mm-hmm. So she instilled that in us, definitely. And then I got to college and I went to an all-women's college and I studied psychology. I really wanted to just help people was my goal going into that. And I knew that I was really interested in human behavior and the brain and how that works. And a book that fell off the shelf for me in high school was Luann Brezendine's book, The Female Brain. And I was just like, what? No one talks about this, like how our brains are and our whole bodies actually are so different. Like, this is crazy. This is revolutionary information. Why does no one talk about this? This is wild. So a lot of the things that now are very like, oh, of course, like cycle syncing and, you know, like your brain is literally doing something totally different, every different phase of your cycle throughout the month. And all of those things that now we talk about all the time was not that ubiquitous or well-known. And I was like, wow, this is revolutionary. Then I went to an all-women's college and same as my high school journey, like got involved immediately in every leadership opportunity and ran for student government and was class president my first year and then moved into like the executive board the following years. And just was very interested in like, okay, how can I kind of like game the system and get the most out of it as possible? Because I really can. And, you know, how do I have the best experience here? And I was just like, well, there's so much. And like everything was so cool because it was this world where everything was built for women to serve women. It was like, oh, we're only going to have women speak, obviously. We're only going to have women in leadership positions, obviously. Oh, we want something changed. Women will do it. You know, like it was just so cool to witness. And even like the equipment in the gym was like specifically for women, you know, like women's bodies. Like it was a different type of gym equipment. So it was so cool to be in that space. And I met amazing people and it was fantastic. And I studied psychology, like I mentioned, but then was looking for like, where is this thing that I'm trying to find in psychology? Like, yeah, the basics, yeah, stats, yeah, this, like, woo. And then I found an elective in positive psychology. And I was like, my whole soul lit up. And I was like, this is what I've been trying. This is what I thought it was going to be. Like, this is what just makes so much sense to me. Like, how do we take people from neutral to thriving versus like this old paradigm model of psychology and medicine where it's like, how do we take a sick person and make them okay, you know? And I was really interested in looking at the other side of things, because in my own self-study curriculum, like books that I was reading in high school and junior high even, was like, how do we change the world? And like, how do we build businesses? And how do we, like, spirituality and the four agreements and all of these things that I was like building my own curriculum unknowingly for years and years. So that was kind of my context. And I was like, how do I fit the study and a degree into this thing that I feel and know to be possible, but like doesn't yet quite exist? And so positive psychology was that for me. And then I also double minored in marketing and sustainable food systems, because I knew that I really wanted to own a business at some point, but I didn't know what exactly that would look like. What I could see at the time was like, I probably will have like a holistic health center. That would be cool. And like have all these different things that should be in the same place, but aren't anymore, back in the same place. It's like, why have we separated nutrition and psychology and health and fitness and like all of these different modalities? Like, why are they so separate? Why do you have to go to all these different places to find them? Like, I would love to bring them all together under one roof. And I never ended up doing that, but I have done that, I think, in my own way of like bringing disparate parts back into harmony in a lot of the things that I've built in my own business over the past decade. So yeah, that's kind of, and not only that, I had originally planned to do a 3-2 program, get my master's in counseling right away, but my professor, thank God, like angel man, came in and was like, if you want to do positive psychology, do not get a degree in counseling, because you will definitely not be doing that. And it will take you further away from what you actually want to do. So don't do that. And I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you. And now what? And then it was like, well, there's really no path. There's no regulations. You don't get a degree in it. And you can like do a certification course. But like right now, the only thing that there really is this like executive coaching thing, which sounded really dry and boring and was like through a university. Or you can do like health coaching. And I was like, that doesn't feel big enough. That doesn't feel like it hits all the points. And like neither of these, like, where's the option for me? And so I found this year-long coaching training, and it was for all women, and it was based in sisterhood. And it was like taking you through all of these different types of coaching every month. And it was incredible. And that was my first coaching investment ever. And it was just like this whole world opened up, and I was like, that's the thing for me. And I did that and started coaching people like month two of the training, because I was like, I'm ready. Let's go. This is so awesome. Meanwhile, I was working in like a magazine publishing company, and 22 went full time in my business and have been evolving and growing it ever since. And now it's become something totally awesome under the umbrella of Woman Up. And it really does feel like, in this frame of playing, it's like, it does feel so fun to lead my own business in this way and be able to support like different people in different ways all day long, every day. It's so fun having the time of my life. And it feels more like play than work most days. So yeah, that's my story.
Well, and so I found this quote that said, it was a quote from Picasso, who once said, it took me a lifetime to paint like a child. And it strikes me that as you were talking about your whole experience, starting as, you know, this little girl who's kind of always on, performing, checking the boxes, you know, doing all the roles that would kind of take you to the next level. And probably there was a lot of pressure in a lot of that to kind of like, you know, do all the things, because this was the path that you go on. I can totally relate to that. And now, as you look at your business and how that has evolved and how you help women, you're really kind of helping them to not be that, but to be more, playful, to be, you know, easier on yourself, to work in rhythm with your own internal, you know, like body and the rhythms that you have, and, you know, just more sustainable way of going about things. So it's almost like, you know, you kind of did the same thing that, you know, he's talking about. It just didn't take you your entire lifetime to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, yeah. And also, like, children, that inner playfulness, that like inner child, doesn't have any rules. It's like, no, mm-hmm. fuck your rules. We're breaking mm-hmm. all of them. And that's what I feel like I'm really helping a lot of women do too, in their industries and in the types of businesses that they want to build. And even in their own conditioning around, like, this is what it's supposed to be, or this is how I'm supposed to get there, or this is how I'm supposed to do it. It's like, no, actually, like, you're blazing a new trail. So there are no rules. You're making the rules. Take your power back from whatever rules you think exist, because they don't. Like, you are making them. Like, you're the boss and you get to do what you want. And why not, if that's the option, like, make it so fun for yourself? Like, yeah. we create these situations where actually it's like we get addicted to, like, struggle or it being so hard. And it's like, is it, or are you making it that way by superimposing, like, an old paradigm and belief system and narrative over something that you actually have total freedom and control to make whatever you want it to be, and to relate to it however you want to relate to it? And you just get to play, like, you get to play with the things that mm-hmm. you're building. You don't have to, like, it's only hard if you make it hard. Mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. your perspective can be like, oh my God, isn't this so cool and fun and easeful for me to do exactly what I'm here on this earth to do?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you get to choose, like, it's choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Well, and so you mentioned your company, which is Woman Up, but tell everybody what the role that you play, pun intended, but mm-hmm. for people now, like, what do you help them with specifically?
Oh my gosh. So many things. It's hard to distill. I would say, in general, I help women build, like, sustainable, regenerative business ecosystems that are incredibly scalable, innovative, disruptive, and enjoyable for them to lead, and to develop the skills that they need to be able to hold that kind of business as a leader along the way. Meaning, like, how do you build a team, and how do you do all the stuff that you need to do and evolve as the woman that you're becoming to be able to lead that version of your business? And also, how do you get into this, like, upward spiral of infinite momentum with other women in community and have really everything and everyone that you actually need to grow and evolve your business to the next many levels forever and ever at your fingertips, without having to go, like, find and hire a team that's all spread out and, like, discover all of these experts and, like, Google your life away or go down all these rabbit holes of research? Like, how do you just be really well-resourced and super supported as a woman entrepreneur? Because that's so revolutionary and uncommon that, like, actually mm-hmm. we try to do all of this alone and we, like, struggle our way through and throw spaghetti at the wall. But what if you could just have, like, everyone and everything you actually need, that you don't have to, like, you eliminate that whole search process and you, like, collapse the time and space between your present and future by having everything you actually need to lift you up and build you up and level you up. So that's kind of the gist. And so we do that through the different offers and the ways, the programs and experiences that we have at Woman Up.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You talked about the, you know, like, things kind of, like, sometimes we think that they need to be hard, or, you know, perhaps that's what we're used to. I can certainly relate to that one, and needing to feel like everything has to be a struggle because I learned to be really scrappy and all of that. And I feel like the hustle culture, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're just somebody who, you know, works a full-time job and wants to do well at it and has, you know, a household or whatever, I feel like there's more of a spotlight on that type of thing and sort of getting away from that. But I still do think that when it comes to something like play, it's not seen as something that's really necessary. It's more so like this frivolous notion. In fact, I found this quote where the author says, Play is often low on our list of priorities. We're living in a world that's more conducive to anxiety than playfulness. In the never-ending to-do list of adulthood, play can feel like a waste of time. We exhaust ourselves with tasks we should or have to do, but we rarely have time or energy for activities we want to do. From your perspective and what you do in your role, why do you personally think that this is important to shift?
One, like creativity and innovation and fulfillment don't come from checking things off on a to-do list, really. Like that, that's helpful and nice, but it's like, it's not the thing that feeds our soul or fuels us really to keep going. It's not a fuel source. And so I really think also, I think we were somehow in this space where like we think play and work are separate for some reason. Like this is an activity that falls into the play category, and this is an activity that falls into the work category. And I think like for me, they are not separate. They are the same and they feed each other. And it's not that like I just play all the time. It's like I see my work actually as play because I love it, because it fuels me, because it's joyful, because I've chosen to orient my life and build something that I actually love to do and is creative and is an outlet for me and feels expansive and enlivening for me every day. And so it's not like I'm playing or I'm working. It's like, oh, I'm playing in my work and it's really fun and fueling and fulfilling. And then like when I have to go do the dishes and I hate doing them, like, okay, that's one lens of the experience where it's like, oh, I have to do this. Or what I did last night is I was like, oh, there's a pile of dishes. Cool. Let me plug in my AirPods and like put on the most fun playlist possible. And now I've transformed and alchemized this experience that anyone else in the world could do and be like, oh my God, this sucks and it's boring, into something that's actually joyful and fun. Like, do I mind washing dishes? No, but it's the energy. Like it's the energy I bring to it that is playful, that is joyful, that is regenerative. And that's what makes, that's what like actually keeps us going as humans. You know, like we need that. That's actually critical for our survival and for us to thrive. It's like we have to be enjoying things. We have to be in pleasure. We have to be honoring our joy. Like, how do we get so far away from that? You know, like for me, I don't know, I'm a bit delulu. Like I live in an alternate reality from most people. And that's what's created the ability for me to be an entrepreneur and to innovate and to do things differently. And same for you, right? Like, it's like, you have to live, you have to understand that as an entrepreneur, you live in a reality distortion. Like you're not a normal person, right? You're being brave and like taking risk and facing uncertainty every day and leading something and building something that didn't exist. And you're pulling money out of thin air somehow. I don't know. It's like you show up and you talk on Instagram and then your program's filled. Okay, cool. Like you send an email to your list and then it's like, oh, great. I sold that thing. Awesome. Money. Thank you. And then I get to do work that I actually love for that money. Like this is not the normal paradigm of humaning. And I think we're also in a point in time where like the old way doesn't even work anymore. So like, why are we pretending that that's the like way we should be doing it when like actually it's just draining the life out of everyone and everything and like the whole planet actually. Like we do need to invent a new way and step into a new paradigm that involves our fulfillment instead of asking us to like sacrifice and compromise our joy and like delay our gratification for retirement, like when you're basically old and sick and can't enjoy anything. Like what? How is that the, how is that the plan? How is that like a great life? You know, like live now, your life is happening now today. And I just think we forget, we've become so disconnected as a society from the reality of like, your life is a precious gift. We don't know how long it's going to be. We don't know what's about to happen. And we can either treat that as a source of anxiety and fear, or we can treat that as a gift that's like, oh, what gets to happen now? It's full of possibility and it's ripe for opportunity. And I think that's I don't even know if that answers your original question, but it just, it does. It feels like that's, it's such an important thing that we like link the two back up, because we've separated, we live in this world of like siloing everything and making like categories and spreadsheets and stuff. And it's like, well, actually work and play should be the same thing. That's how we create regenerative energetic systems that actually are sustainable. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think to your point, like there are things that we have in our lives that we have to do. We have to do the dishes. We have to do laundry. I mean, but the way in which we approach those things, if we can, you know, like you said, approach it with a spirit of playfulness, a spirit of French kissing life, a spirit of gusto, we always have that within our control of how we're going to respond to something. We may not always be in control of the things that we have to do in our lives, but I think that the way that we go into them is always within our control. And that's a relief, really, because, you know, nobody can give that to you. Nobody can take that away from you. It's always within you to, you know, bring that kind of a spirit to whatever it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think I heard recently, it's like there are only a few things in life that are definitely like that are inevitable, right? It's like pain, work, and the unknown. So like,
yeah,
that can sound kind of bleak, or it can be like, well, we know that those things are inevitable. Therefore, if we can expect them, they don't throw us off course. We can actually approach them with like a welcoming, playful energy versus something that we try to like avoid or hide from, or, you know, that's being human, you know, we're not going to sidestep that. So how do we bring joy to the equation instead of saving that for like the treat that happens after? Like, no, integrate, right? Like, mm-hmm. how do you overlay that experience? Like, how do you have that approach and bring that approach to everything? Because you are the leader in your life. Like, you have way more influence on a situation than you think you do, even if it's just your own internal perspective shift of, oh, I'm going to make this fun no matter what, or I'm going to make this joyful no matter what, or like, I prioritize my pleasure no matter what, or, you know, work gets to be fun no matter what. And like, then I make decisions from that place. Then I move from that place. Then, you know, this and this happens. And it's a, like a waterfall effect of positivity, or, you know, joy or pleasure or play or fun or whatever the goal is. Right.
Yeah. It's like, well, death and taxes are the other two that we're never getting away from. Sorry, everybody.
Spoiler. I know the taxes. I'm like, and by the way, like the things we can avoid though are like, we don't have to do dishes forever. We could delegate that, you know, like,
yeah,
maybe you have a kid who it's like, oh, I don't actually have to do that anymore. You can do that. Or you hire a housekeeper, or you have somebody come, you hire a laundry service or something, and then you don't do those things. And then you're like, great, what do I want to do with my time? But you have to be connected to your pleasure and what actually fills you and fuels you to even know what the heck do you do with that extra time? Because without knowing that, without the intention behind it, it's like, it's just more time, even money, right? It's like, it's just more money. Money is valueless unless you apply it to something that adds value to your life. It's like, you can have more time, you can have more of any resource, but all of it means nothing if it's not spent or invested intentionally.
So you talked about sort of being in touch with that playful side. And I think that one thing I found interesting in researching play was that there are different types of playful people. And I think that that could be a good place for people to start, is to really identify how does that show up for them? If it doesn't at all, then sort of figuring out if you fit into one of these categories might be a good place to start. I'm going to read these four, and I want to know, I'm curious which one you are. Maybe you identify with all four. Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised. So the first one is those who outwardly enjoy fooling around with friends, colleagues, relatives, and acquaintances. The second one is those who are generally lighthearted and not preoccupied by the future consequences of their behavior. The third one is those who play with thoughts and ideas. And the fourth one is those who are whimsical, exhibiting interest in strange and unusual things, and are amused by small everyday observations.
Oh my God. Well, I would say, like, going backwards, I feel I'm definitely, like, amused by everyday, like, little stuff. Like, I find things so funny. That was one of the best things about being in Portugal altogether in our mastermind was, like, that group of women last year was just, like, you guys were so funny and fun and just, like, amused by so many things. It was, like, we played so much. Like, I feel like we just played the whole time, and that's productive, actually. Like, it's, like, really good medicine. And I think definitely, like, amused by everyday, like, little moments. And then I love playing with thoughts and ideas. I feel like that's my whole job, really, right? And then I think outwardly enjoying fooling around, I think that's kind of similar for me. The one that I feel like probably ranks lowest for me is number two, but because I'm like a little bit like, I do care about future consequences, but usually I'm not going to do anything too crazy in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Compromise my future or my well-being to play. Like, I know some people are like super intense and they're like, oh my God, I have to be like adrenaline junkie and like risking death to feel playful or joyful or something. I'm not that. But I do, you know, I'm like, well, it'll all work out. So maybe I am that too, just in a different way than I think about it for people.
I feel like I was very much number two when I was younger. I'm probably a little bit that way now, but I'm like you. I definitely like am aware of consequences and stuff. But like in school, I was the kid that was, the teacher would be like, walk around that badminton net, don't jump over it. And I'm the kid that's jumping over it and falling on my face. And then the teacher's like, this is exactly why I said, don't do this. But yeah, I think I would say number one is something that I like didn't do for a while. And like, it's really funny because my one time I was talking to my therapist and I was describing a situation to her, and I've been with her for a long time, so she knows me very well, and she's very funny. She understands like my sense of humor. And I was telling her this story about like going to like a networking event or something. And I said, yeah, you know, I just like, I'm so introverted. Like, I just don't enjoy like going up and talking to people or like small talk and stuff. And so I just kind of feel like I, you know, I'm that person that just like stands off to the side. And she goes, Shauna, I have to stop you. No, you are not. She's like,
you're lying to yourself.
What? I don't know what story you are telling yourself, but she's like, that is absolutely not you. I was false. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. So I feel like I had this stretch of time where I was very much, and I was for sure going through a lot of stress for a while, but I was very much like not in touch with the, you know, playful fooling around person that I really truly am deep down. And I think that happens a lot for people where they sort of like, you know, whether, and I used to say there were certain friends that would bring that out in me. And then I started asking myself, well, why is it certain friends that are only the ones that like inspire that in you? Like, you just need to, you know, be that in the scenarios. Like, I'm obviously have the self-awareness. I'm not going to, you know, bring that energy to the wrong scenario. But, you know, it's like, I don't need to be given permission either to, you know, like tap into that. So I think for people that maybe have a hard time like tapping into that, you know, it's like, are you stopping yourself? Can you give yourself permission to just be more playful in these scenarios, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too. It's like, are we giving ourselves permission, or are we waiting for permission outside of mm-hmm. ourselves in some way, in anything, like whether it's to be playful, to be, you know, to take a risk, to change your life in some way. Like, are we waiting for permission? And then can we just write our own permission slip? It's like, actually, yeah. You get to be that right now if you want. Like, you don't have to. I think we tell ourselves a story like, well, when this happens, then I can, mm-hmm. or then I will, mm-hmm. or then I'll do this. And it's like, no, you won't. You become that now. That's an identity shift. You decide, and then everything else follows suit. But like, you're nothing externally is actually ever going to change the internal thing until you decide that that's changing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. What are some tips that you might share for people who want to invite more play into their everyday lives? It could be things that you do for yourself, or things that you've, you know, witnessed in others or helped women kind of shift to. But what are some things that you'd suggest, even as a starting mm-hmm. point, or, you know, things that they could do on a regular basis to kind of shift, mm-hmm. start shifting that?
Yeah. Well, I think the first one that's coming to mind is like, just add, like, notice where you could add joy. Like, notice where you could add play. Like, is it on your car ride? Is it like, what are you already doing? Like, don't make it too complicated on yourself and be like, I need to make space for play, and like, make it not playful. Like, where can you just introduce it or infuse it into your life already? Like my example with, you know, putting on a fun playlist in your AirPods while you're doing the dishes, and now you're dancing, and now you're like dancing over to do the laundry. And then you're like, last night I literally turned off all the lights and my husband had gone to bed already. And I was like having like a full dance party in my house. And then I came in and I was like, hello, I've completed my ritual now. I'm ready to calm down, go to bed. So I think it's like, and then, you know, like, make a fun playlist, put it on, take it on your walk, like do something that just is joyful for you. Mm-hmm. I think also it's like, maybe it's your external environment. Like, are you expressing yourself? Do you feel like the clothes you wear, the outfit you put together, the office space that you're in, like, can you bring something into that space that like inspires you, or that adds life, or that adds joy for you in some way? These are things, I feel like these are things that are just so intuitive to me. I'm like, what else do I do? Yeah. I couldn't even tell you. Maybe dance parties.
Yeah. That's things. A great way to shift energy. Mm-hmm. Like even for one song, you know, you just got out of a meeting where somebody pissed you off, mm-hmm. throw on a song, dance it out, like shift your body, get that energy moving through you, and mm-hmm. come back to it. Like, guarantee you're going to feel, you might still be angry or whatever at the situation, mm-hmm. but you're going to feel that something has shifted.
Yeah. Let it move. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Shift the energy, alchemize the emotion through play, dance, joy, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's also just like letting there be blank space in your life, you know, like actually having rules and boundaries around your time and energy so that it's not just going. I think a lot of women have the challenge of like no boundaries with other people, and that's not my biggest edge, but I know it's very common for people. So I think it's like also prioritizing your pleasure and making space for that. Even if you're like, this is just 2 hours of my time where I'm going to go do whatever the heck I feel like that day. And it doesn't have to be planned out. It can just be like, what would feel really fun right now? And then you go do that because you have space mm-hmm. to do it. It's like, might depend on the weather, might depend on how you're feeling, you know, just whatever, but give yourself space to actually go explore that and learn for yourself what is fun, what is playful for you, what does bring you joy, because it changes throughout our lives and throughout different seasons. Some things might stay the same, but other things might totally shift. And you're like, yeah, I used to love that. Not so much. Like, you know, you start listening yeah. to a certain audiobook and you're like, yeah, not today. Cool. Like, what are we doing instead? Or, oh, I want to yeah. go to this flower shop, or, oh, there's a thing I wanted to go check out, or maybe there's an event happening, or maybe it's like, oh, great, I can go get a massage, or, you know, it doesn't have to be appointments, but it could be just, I'm going to go take a walk and feel luxurious. I personally like to take myself on dates where I'm like, my husband doesn't like the same things that I like all the time. And like, mm-hmm. not always, like a girlfriend isn't always available at the drop of a hat to go do something. Or like, you know, I like to spend time with myself too. I like to date myself. I like to take myself out for like oysters and kombucha and take a long walk with my dog if I feel like it, and go shop and just pop in and have my little spacious day. So take yeah. yourself on a date, you know, like plan a date that's actually amazing for you and give yourself that experience, or go do something that you've never done before, like that challenges you, that scares you, that actually feels playful or joyful or fun just because you want to. Like there are so many cool things. You could do like have you seen these like bungee fitness things? I don't know if it's like a thing everywhere or if it's just here in Charleston, but there's this like bungee fitness. It's so cool. It looks so fun.
We are like the last ones to get things here in the Midwest, I feel like. So no, I have not seen that, but it sounds like a blast. And it makes me think
it's like
too,
crazy looking.
It makes me think too, like couple other tips for people too, is like, what did you enjoy doing as a kid? Because there might be things within that that you still as an adult would love. I mean, I loved riding my bike as a kid. I would love to do that now. I don't make enough time to do it. But when I do, I feel that child, you know, coming alive again and like, oh, this is why I loved doing this as a kid. You know, puzzles or coloring, like those are things that I loved doing as a kid. And I ask myself now, I'm like, why don't I do those things? Is just like a, you know, little like burst of not thinking. the other thing that I wanted to say when you were talking about having it kind of built into your schedule, I agree about sort of leaving some of that, you know, flexibility and not making it something so rigid or like formal. But I do think, and I remember you and I having this conversation, that like for people that feel maybe a bit more spontaneous, like myself, I often would balk at scheduling things in like play. But there's this weird thing that happens when you like schedule these things in, it makes you feel like you have more freedom because you know that the things that are the things that you can't not do are taken care of somewhere else, and that you do have this free time to like, you know, just play or kind of give in to whatever you're feeling at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So important to just build it in and have the space for it. Even if you're like, I don't even know what I'm going to do during that time, that's okay. But it's there for you. And then you get to just be curious about yourself and tune in and ask like, what would actually feel really fun today for me?
Yeah. Well, and it's also, so we have been doing a game segment, which we're going to do right now on this podcast. And it's like, that's by design. It's not, I mean, of course, like I'm trying to do things that are entertaining for my audience and kind of feel through like what types of things everybody responds to, but it's also an opportunity for the guest and I to play with each other and laugh and be silly and dumb about certain things. So just like another example of like why, you know, that sort of thing is just so important to keep doing. So we are going to play a little game here. We've talked about just tapping into play and our childlike selves. And I thought that it would be fun to like, I'm going to read the funny examples of what I want to be when I grow up from kids, because these usually produce like the most epic answers. And so I'm going to read some of these and I want you to tell me if you think that that was actually something a kid came up with or something I came up with.
Okay. Oh my God.
Are you ready?
What I'm just going to set the tone and be like, I might get all of these wrong. And that is also great.
That's exactly what happened when I had my Canadian friend Serena on. I was terrible in that game. Okay. So the first one says, what do I want when I grow up? I want to be a person who stays home and does nothing.
Probably a kid.
Correct. Albert said that.
Albert.
The Albie. Next one is, when I grow up, I want to be a fireman since I like explosions and fire.
Probably a kid. I mean, you probably could have.
Correct.
Okay. Like, well.
Correct.
Yeah.
David said that. Okay, so the next one is, when I grow up, I want to beat Super Mario Brothers.
I think you.
You're 3 for 3.
I'm so good at this. Okay, at this wait, game. Now I'm, if I say that, I'm going to just reverse it.
Okay, so this next one I feel like is already in tune with the moon, which I love. When I grow up, I want to be a wolf.
Oh, a wolf. I feel like maybe a kid came up with it. I don't know. That's pretty fun to be a wolf.
Elsie said that. Aww. Elsie, we love you. You are going to be a little soul sister someday. The next one is... when I grow up, I want to be a vet until I'm 20, and then I will be an engineer. That is an Enneagram 7 right there.
Oh my God. Now I'm like confused because I'm like, wait, is that you trying to trick me? Or?
I don't know.
How many more are there? I need to know.
5.
5 more? Okay.
5. Uh-huh.
I want to be a vet, and then when I'm 20, I want to be I'll be an engineer. You?
Nope.
Okay.
That was Brandon that said that.
Damn it, Brandon.
Brandon, he's ruined just on street. He's on top of things. So you've only missed one.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so the next one is, when I grow up, I want to win the lottery and eat pizza every day.
Do kids know what the lottery is? Like, I don't even know. I feel like you. Maybe this is you.
It is me.
Okay.
I would eat pizza every day if I could. Homemade pizza is my jam. It is literally the only thing that I'm good at cooking. So that was me. The next one is, when I grow up, I'm going to work with rocks.
A kid.
Yes. That was Teddy. Teddy, he also said, I'm going to throw them in the water so it creates a massive splash, which I feel like is,
great idea.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Oh my gosh. I have a story about this real quick about kids with rocks. Do we have time? Can I share it with you?
We do have time. We always have time for stories here.
I thought so, but I thought I'd just ask to be sure. So I was out to dinner the other night with my friend who lives on John's Island, where I live. And her 3-year-old daughter and her 2-year-old son. And her 3-year-old daughter, in the middle of dinner, just goes and finds this rock. It was like a door stopper for the place next door to where we were eating, because we're sitting outside. And she just like goes over and she's like, oh, come see my rock. Come see my rock. She's like so excited about this rock. And it's like a piece, it's just like a crappy piece of like rock that somebody is using as a doorstop for the place next door, like, or like a weight of some kind. I don't know. So funny. Mm-hmm. She's like so excited. She's like, what's this rock doing here? This is rock. Why is this rock here? She's like thinking it's so funny. And then she starts, she's like trying to pick it up, but it's like way too big and heavy for her. But it's like, you know, not a huge rock, but whatever. So, but she's tiny because she's 3. So she's like starts pushing this rock. She pushes it all the way down the sidewalk to us. And then she's like, I need to put it on the golf cart. I need to take it home. She like, you know, fell in love with this rock. She's like sitting on it. She's like, this is my rock. Don't touch my rock. My rock. Isn't it so cool? She's like so happy. And she's like, will you help me pick it up and put it on the golf cart? So they like took it home. And then my friend sends me a picture. She's like, yeah, she put it in the backyard, like by the pool. It's now part of our landscape. Like, she's got this rock.
Bless
she's like,
her.
She names them. She loves crystals. She like names all of her rocks. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to be a geologist or something.
Oh my
someday.
God.
Or like a hard, like a landscaper or something. It's so funny. She's like fell in love with a rock and she pushed it all the way down and she's like scooting along. She like worked up a sweat. I was like, oh my God, this girl, her dedication. I was so impressed, but
that's
that was
so
hilarious.
Cute.
It was so cute.
That's another tip, actually. I mean, I freaking love kids and I love old people.
Yeah.
I don't know if kids are in my future someday, but I love being around them. And that's another thing to inspire.
Good
playful
tip.
Be around kids. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Okay. 2 more and then we'll do our rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So this one is, when I grow up, I will grow bigger and bigger and then grow a beard. menopause will get you.
You?
I wish I could claim that one. That was Victoria.
Oh,
which is even funnier. It wasn't a boy. That's why I was like menopause.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. Well, I hope that either she does get that if that's her dream or not.
Yes. 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 Okay. The last one. When I grow up and I'm 100, ambitious already, I will play Uno with my grandchildren. I will wear a sweater all the time. I will take naps every day, and I will take my wife to Pizza Hut for dinner. Is this my child?
Maybe.
That's what I want to know.
Oh my God.
Do I have a child out there somewhere? Is this it?
Well, now I'm thrown for a loop because that's, I'm like, is this you actually? I think that's pretty weird for a kid to say that, but like kids say the weirdest things. Like they probably think this is great. This is what it means to be old. I'll go with a kid.
Correct. Yes. That was, I didn't get the name on that one. We're going to say that was
Mildred.
Billy. Billy. I feel like you scored really well. I think there was only two that you missed. So I didn't stump you.
Winner.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Let's get to our rapid fire questions before I let you go.
Mm.
Which Disney princess are you and why?
Mm. Probably Ariel. Because...
Ariel.
Or no. Pocahontas. Maybe Pocahontas. Because ooh. That was like really the only Disney movie I really watched as a kid. And I feel like all of the songs are like, she's like this earth protectress. And I love them. And I also played that Colors of the Wind for my first and only piano recital because that did not stick for me, but I loved it.
Well, funny story. I too played Colors of the Wind. I'm a accomplished saxophone player and by accomplished, I haven't picked it up in about 20 years. I had my moment, the like lead saxophone player couldn't play or something. I can't remember. It was my moment. I had the solo and I botched it.
Oh no.
And it was so horrible. I like rushed through it and my band teacher's eyes are like, slow down, slow down. And then he had to just sort of get everybody on track and it was not how I thought it was going to go like, in my mind.
You're like, I'm trying to do this, but the amount of pressure and the energy in my body is just moving too fast for the lyric,
yep.
For the notes, the tempo of the song.
The nerves really got me on that one. And I was just like, never again will I have... Actually, I'm going to have the saxophone opportunity again that we talked about in one of my other episodes. So maybe I'll redeem myself someday.
You should. I don't know. That would be so fun. You should make it a podcast episode.
I know.
So everyone can witness it.
We gotta,
and if you do have that recording somewhere... We can, you know, I hope that it's recorded somewhere on video, like VHS. And then you can do a nice
it probably is.
Before and after, like side by side. My, how I've grown. I think those solo things on stage in school, like I don't know exactly how old you were when this happened, but those were so terrifying. Like you can't see anything. There's a spotlight. You're just like blind looking out into dark.
Yeah.
Or bright light or darkness. And you're just like, I black out. I blacked out every time I had to sing a solo or step off of the bleacher into the light and up to the mic. It's like, my God, everything in your body is just like, no, don't do this.
I know. My friends used to think like, they'd be like, God, you're like so calm. And I'm like, you have no idea what's going on inside my body right now. Like, I am not, I might look like I'm calm, but I am anything but calm.
I'm internally just paralyzed.
But thank you.
But in fear. So I look calm. But other than that, inside, it's yes. a mess. I remember that feeling. And nothing, it's a mess. It'd be like nothing yeah. you could do. Like, it didn't matter how many times you really practiced. It was just like that moment where you step up to the mic and you're like, this is so scary. No matter how many times I've done mm-hmm. this, like, it's just scary. It's just brave to do it, you know?
Yes. Mm. Yes. It was good practice for us later in life, but my God, mm-hmm. it was not good. I feel like this is like appropriate for you.
Ooh.
If you owned a boat on your island, mm-hmm. what would you name it?
Obviously, Woman Up.
Ooh, that's such a good one.
And then it would be a write-off as well. This would be a marketing yeah. vehicle tool. And I also, P.S., have just thought about this. Like, I filled out the paperwork to get a vanity plate for my license plate that says Woman Up, and I'm very excited.
Ooh, so I mean,
I'd name my boat and my car that.
It's the perfect name that sort of encapsulates all of it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the song that when it comes on, you immediately want to get up and dance, preferably on a table or, in your case, on a wall?
Oh, Twerk on a Wall?
Mm-hmm.
Many things. Let's see. What song did I twerk on a wall to? Was it The Little Mermaid? Like, that just doesn't even add up in my brain now, but in the moment it made sense.
I feel like it was a Disney song of some sort, but I cannot recall which one.
Yeah. I don't know.
What's that song? Can you even name just one? Mine is Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard.
Okay.
It makes mm-hmm. me want to dance like a convicted hooker that just got out of the jam.
Oh, God. I don't know. I've been listening to so many things that like aren't that vibe lately. I'm like, I don't know, Defying Gravity from Wicked. Like, that's what's on my mind right now. But that's all not, right. That can't be the song. I mean, that doesn't feel like the song.
Is there any banger that you... Maybe a Miley Cyrus banger or Taylor Swift banger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. How about Miley, Mother's Daughter? Ooh. You know that song?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That's enough to twerk on a wall for real.
Perfect. If you were a drink, what would you be and why? Alcohol or otherwise?
These are hard. You know, like, it's hard I know, for me to choose these things.
It's not the day to just think of hard questions for you.
God, give me an easier one. Talk to me about playfulness, not choosing songs and drinks. I literally am the worst. Like, you know, I think you may have seen this, but Jeff makes fun of me, my husband, about... Like when we go out to dinner, I'm like, I have so many questions. I really just like can't make a decision about this menu. It's like it's an ailment for me. It plagues me so.
My toxic trait is I can never think of a place to go if somebody is like, hey, where do you want to go to lunch? I'm like, mm-mm. My brain just, it's blank. It's literally blank. I cannot think of one at all. Well, we Same. Can come back to that one. If you want.
Well, hold on. Let me just, I'll just have to do it.
you I mentioned feel like kombucha. I'll regret.
I know. I was going to say like probably kombucha because it's effervescent and healthy-ish uh-huh. and it creates a better gut microbiome, I suppose. I don't know. It's like good for you, but also feels fancy when you put it in a wine glass.
Uh-huh. I like that answer.
And maybe is also a little intimidating to some people. Like, who knows? Not everybody likes it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me. I'd rather be disliked for what I am than liked for something I'm not, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. There you go.
That works.
All right. Name a celebrity you had a crush on when you were growing up.
Leo. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Of course.
Titanic. In Titanic. What a fox.
A dreamboat.
And the man mm-hmm. doesn't keep, like, there have only been a few movies recently where I'm like, ooh, he's, like, not aging well. But I think that was, like, part of the role.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm like, wow, this man, like, for so long, like, almost my whole life now, I'm like, this man does not age. Like, he just keeps getting better. This is weird. But then I've seen a couple movies recently with him. I can't remember which ones. The whatever of the Flower Moon. What's that called? Something. Killers of the Flower Moon. And he was like, he like gained some weight for these roles and was like not the like hot guy. It was, yeah. So he looked a little different. But him as like everything in 90s to 2000s, like the man.
Dreamboat. Dreamboat.
Even Wolf of Wall Street. Like, I didn't even really love that look or that, you know, it's not an attractive role to play really for the most part, but I'll take it.
Yep. If you could teleport to anywhere in the world right now, where would it be?
Honestly, probably Costa Rica, because one of my Woman Up members is there right now in Santa Teresa, which is my favorite place in Costa Rica. And I'm like, oh my God, I wish I could teleport there right now. I want to go to all the places and watch sunset and sunrise on the beach with everybody and see the like stray dogs and just chill and be warm. Yeah. And it's the best. Yeah.
I love that. What's the strangest thing that you're afraid of? And why was it those crabs that we saw in Portugal? Remember those giant crabs?
Wait, where was that?
You and I were the only two that wouldn't get in the actual ocean because there was a strong current there.
Oh, it was
deep. We're like, yeah, no, we're going to pass cold. On this one.
Not
and
warm.
Cold, very like, cold.
Really cold.
And then we saw those giant crabs and I was like, yeah, there's no way in hell I'm getting in this water after seeing these giant crabs.
No, I mean, I know that they're probably not like swimming, like they don't swim.
But do they?
No, I don't even know.
We couldn't confirm
I feel like
it
they
and that
crawl.
Was enough.
They must be on like the ground of the ocean. I don't know. Like, these
I don't know.
That was, there were so many. That was the scariest part was there were infinite, like there were just more. And like, the more you saw, the more you saw, they just kept like multiplying.
Yeah.
And they were scary looking. They weren't like cute. Like you imagine sometimes maybe when you think of like, oh, crab, like those are the ones that are already dead and not in the wild that are on your plate. Not very intimidating, but God, that was scary. I was like, there's no way this thing's going to claw my foot and then I'm not going to be able to swim.
Yeah.
No. I liked our little spot that we found though after that.
Yeah. It was... French kiss or French fry?
Oh my God. Both.
At the same time?
At the same time.
Yes. One of my other guests said that. She's like, both, preferably at the same time. And I was like, you are so naughty.
How do you even do that? But like, you might choke and die. But
we'll
maybe
it.
Worth it.
We're all about the spicy.
Honestly,
here,
at this phase in my life, I feel like it's French fry. Let's be real. I don't know.
I would say like 80% of the people, 80% say French fry. So you are in the majority there.
Especially if it's like a really good one. Or like a sweet potato fry. Like all day. Yes.
Yeah. If you could do anything right in this moment that would make you feel free, what would you do?
I don't know. The first thing that came to mind is like something I did last night before getting into bed. I was like, I'm flashing you. And I just took off all my clothes. I was running around the bedroom naked. Just being like, flashed again. Flash.
We're going streaking.
I don't know why.
Everybody's doing why it.
I was just streaking in my house, in my bedroom to my husband. I thought it was really funny. So I guess that's it.
I love that answer so much. It's the best one so far. Everybody, good
she
luck.
She twerks on walls
it.
To Disney
she
songs and also she
now every
in the comfort of her home.
Now everybody knows this is why the skinny dipping moment happened. I had a group of women around me that were cheering me on
uninhibited.
In all the ways. Uninhibited. Oh my God, this is great. Okay, my last question that I ask everybody, what does French kissing life mean to you?
I think it means like going all in on what you want to build in your life, how you want to feel, and just being willing to bet on yourself, to trust yourself that you've got you no matter what, to dive all in, to do, I'm thinking of this phrase, like two cheeks in, like your full ass. That's what I think mm-hmm. of, like totally, like your full commitment to living full out and like building a life and a business that you like don't even want a vacation from because it's so good. It actually yeah. just like fuels you every single day, that like vacation is the cherry on top, but it's not a necessity because like you feel like you're on vacation every day because you're just playing and doing what you love. That's for me what it feels like.
Amazing. If anybody is in search of that feeling and is like looking at doing a business or has a business and wants your help, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah. You can come find me on Instagram at womanup, WMNUP, or at Emily Castle Official, which I'm sure will be in the show notes. So yep, I don't have to spell it for you.
You got it.
Or come to womanup.co. And check out all the things we do. And you can find Shauna inside the community with us too.
Yes, we're having a ball.
Come play.
Maybe we're flashing people. We might be. I don't know. Who knows what's happening?
Come find out.
I hope that after this hour, which we always seem to go over because we have so much fun, I hope that your day is now better, that we've played for a little bit. We've talked about play. Played a game, we stumped you. Hopefully you can go into the rest of your hump day better than when we started. Thank you so much for being here, Emily. You are always game for whatever, and that's what I love about you. And I'm just so happy that you could come on the pod with me.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Well, we started this episode with very wacky energy, and by the end, we were cruising toward truly unhinged behavior. I cannot tell you how much I love these conversations. And guess what? We're just getting started. So this is episode 11, which is a fun milestone because I only need to publish 21 episodes for my show to be in the top 1% of podcasts around the world. So I'm halfway there. And you better believe I'm nowhere near ready to stop playing. I'm having way too much fun with this. Of course, today's Kindness in Action segment is talking all about play. So here are some actions you can take whether you have 5 minutes or 50. If you have 5 minutes, I'm suggesting you read an article on how to be more playful as an adult. If you have 50 minutes, I'm suggesting you find your play personality through the National Institute of Play. So take the play style quiz and discover how you can use that to infuse play into your everyday life. If you are a business owner and want to dig into Emily's work, check out her website. She's got some great resources that you may find helpful in your journey, or contact her directly to learn more about her work. I will leave all of her contact details in the show notes, as well as the resources that I'm suggesting here. As a reminder, there's still time to get in on our monthly giveaway. We are giving away the Minimalist swimsuit, which is gorgeous, gifted to us by our friends at Laundry. So to be entered into February's drawing, all you got to do is leave a rating and review. As another reminder, please leave your email address or Instagram handle so I know who you are. If you've left a review before, you can leave one again. If you want to leave nothing but emojis, I'm all for it. Follow the show to be sure that you don't miss a new episode. And while you're at it, pass this on to your friends who want to French kiss life alongside you. Friends don't let friends play alone. Thank you so much for all of your support and for tuning in. We'll see you next time for another fun, playful, inspiring, and joyful episode of French Kissing Life. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the French Kissing Life podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you're enjoying the show, shower us with a 5-star rating and hit that subscribe button to make sure you never miss a future episode. And if you would be so kind and give the show a review, I'll sweeten the deal for you. Since you know I live for good conversation, I want to hear from you. Share your favorite takeaways, an aha moment you had, or a fun emoji that represents this week's show, along with your Instagram handle or email address, and you'll be entered to win this month's giveaway. The French Kissing Life movement is gaining momentum, and your ratings and reviews play a pivotal role in propelling the show to new heights. Until next week, mwah!